Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the Aiken Jay.
Hey, you've only seen
Jay.
On holiday.
Oh, this is the Aiken Jay Daily for all your fish needs. Charlie was with me today. Andy was off. He's back tomorrow. But we had Graham Bell on, didn't we?
We did have Graham. The only British skier I could name you.
Really?
Couldn't name you another
what
one.
What about that? Well, he's going to be in Dancing on Ice. So we wondered if being a skier was any help, and he told us.
David Morrissey came in the studio.
Great, yeah.
He was fantastic.
Liverpool fan, he was on good form.
Yeah, really
we had a bit of a chat, we got the listeners involved, didn't we?
All sorts of stories about first days, bad first days,
and crap memorabilia. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie. Great to see you.
Lovely to see you,
and
Paul.
And since I last saw you, as listeners to your show with Max at the weekend, well, now you've become a fisherman.
Well, I'm not going to call myself a fisherman. I've been fishing a few times, and I've caught a few perch, and I like it very much.
But you've caught the bug, haven't you?
I've very much caught the bug,
and it is
yes.
Down at our old friends, Mortimer on Whitehouse, really. The show has got under your skin, hasn't it? Into it.
What a brilliant show. And that show's brilliant, Paul, isn't it? Because
they
don't back out of any subject at all,
yeah.
You know, any mental well-being subject or anything about their past, they share it all and they put it all out there for the benefit of all of us. And sometimes it's not about the fishing, is it?
No.
That's what I've caught onto that show. It's not about the fishing.
But you like solitary fishing. You found you quite like the little bit of you time that you get when you go down to the riverbank.
I like it's the first thing I've got up. I'm not an early riser, Paul.
Yeah,
and it's the first thing in my life I've made other than flight. I've made myself get up for and get up and get out and see the sunrise by the riverbank.
It's lovely.
And you can sit with yourself, you know, with the rod. If you just sat there without the rod,
that's ridiculous.
That would look weird.
Sat there on a fold up chair with no rod.
Just take the rod anyway.
Yeah.
If you're going to go and do that,
it's like
going for a walk without a dog. It's like, oh, there's a weird bloke walking in the woods. He's got a dog. Fine.
Yes. You know what? The amount of time we do that, you see someone walking towards you when you've got the dog, and you think, bit weird. And there comes his dog, and suddenly he may still be a mad axe murderer.
Yeah.
But as long as he's got a cockapoo behind him, he's all right with me.
Same with sitting on the riverbank on your own, just on a camping chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, caught a few perch, Paul.
How you getting on,
absolutely
mate?
Loving
what are you talking
it?
About? I'm not fishing. I like the concept of fishing.
I ran the line this weekend, Paul.
Oh, did you really?
My son was playing yesterday. And,
I've done that a few times, and it's surprising how quickly your own parents turn on you, isn't it?
Yes.
When you're running the line.
Yeah. In the second half, I had to run in front of the other parents.
Okay, that's never good, is it?
What I try and do is do a few gags to try and warm them up. So when I inevitably give the wrong offside decision, they don't shout at me too much. So I did a few.
I suppose it's a live audience at the moment, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. One bloke was filming it, so I did a bit of VAR chat. You know, a bit of that, which is really good.
Were you not watching the game?
A bit.
You've got the idea of what running the line means.
But I made a bit of a fool of myself.
Yeah.
One of the kids was called Lennon.
What, first name?
First name, yeah.
Oh,
and I went,
okay.
I'm so into football at the moment.
Liam Gallagher's there.
So doing a lot
Lennon,
here.
Isn't he?
Yeah, but I said, what, Aaron Lennon? Spurs fan, are you?
Oh.
And she went, no. John Lennon. And I went, oh, yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah.
Why would anyone have called their child Lennon after Aaron Lennon?
They might have done.
There
might be some Tottenham fans out there. He had a very good career with us. Yeah. So, Thiago Silva, as Andy probably would have been telling us today, didn't have the best of hours, did he?
Yes.
In a Chelsea shirt.
Someone on Twitter, I should find the tweet, wrote, you can't turn up and je m'appelle, je voudrais un croissant it through the Premier League.
Well, he's having English lessons 5 5 days a week at the moment. His English isn't stunning.
Oh, is he?
Tim Vickery has often told us he's a fine player and he still thinks he can do it. But he said he's not a leader of men. Mm. Don't expect him to go. He said he was one of the worst captains Brazil ever had.
Oh, really?
So he's that's not his... But, you know, he'll get better. He's still a class act.
It was a bad first day, wasn't it? Maybe it was a bit too soon for him. Yeah. And I thought we could do this afternoon. I wonder...
Yeah.
Who's had a bad first day?
Okay.
My brother once told me a story of him turning up for his first day at A-levels. You know what it's like when you're 17?
Yeah.
And you know, you're really nervous of yourself. And he turned up in some crepe-soled shoes.
Yeah.
Paul. First lesson, in he goes. It was raining. Went in, crepe-soled shoes. Over he goes, onto his back. First lesson, first day, first minute. Douche, fell over. And I thought, wow. Oh, that's a bad...
That's a way to make
an
impression.
You only get one chance to make a first impression.
That's very true. So let us know then your very bad Thiago Silva-like first day in the job or whatever it was, maybe at school. You may be squirming even thinking about it, but you might feel better if you share it with the class.
Yes.
So talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089. You can tweet to TSH&J. The producer was talking earlier on. He mentioned, I heard him shout across the office, the word Stefan Dalmat, who was a short-lived Spurs player of not particularly great quality.
Yeah.
But he pointed out to us that he had a signed Watford Spurs programme with Stefan Dalmat's autograph on it.
Lovely.
And
what's
I was
that
thinking,
worth?
That comes under the heading of something we did years ago, which was worthless memorabilia.
Oh, lovely. That's nice.
When you look, you know, so we're going to be talking later on about a number plate, a football-related number plate that could go for £200,000.
Really?
Which is quite amazing, isn't it?
Was it Simon Jordan 1?
SJ1. He could afford it. But we want to know maybe this afternoon about your completely worthless bits of sporting memorabilia.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that spring to mind from last time we did it. This was Tony Potrack, an ex-Chelsea player of the 19th... I'm sorry, Tony, if you listen. Tony Potrack, ex-Chelsea player of the 70s. Somebody had got his autograph.
Oh,
just
nice.
In a book. It was the only autograph in an autograph book. You remember, you used to buy those the stationery shop with the kind of the red thing with a bit of gilt around
it. Yeah, lovely, yeah. They peaked early, though. They got Tony's, that was it.
It's an empty book, apart from the names... Best wishes, Tony Potrack. So,
is the Tony Potrack a bit like the George Foreman grill?
What it is? That's what he should have gone into. Pots on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We mentioned Thiago Silva didn't have the...
Bad first day, wasn't
bad
it, Paul?
Bad first day. And the listeners have been sharing their bad first days.
This is anonymous. Unfortunately, my first day in the office, I was in the kitchen and one of the directors spilt 2 mugs of boiling water over me. I had to go straight to hospital and get the burn dressed and was off work for the rest of the week. I still got the burn marks today. Bit of a shame for that person on their first day. I mean, unless it was just someone in trying to get rid of them straight away. There we are. We had a good one a minute. Here it is. Yes. No, there it is. Afternoon, lads. Great show. Oh, didn't mean to read that bit. Embarrassing and awkward moments. It's my first day in first year at the academy and it's all new and you want to fit in. We're being introduced to music and the teacher asks us how many of us have recorders. Up shoots my hand. I'm in. Okay. Well, those who have recorders, please bring them in tomorrow, she says. I rush home, grab the recorder, ready for tomorrow. I'm sat in class. Teacher asks us to get our recorders out. Everyone else presents their sticks with holes in them, and I've got my tape recorder in my bag. Still
bad
makes me
first day.
Cringe.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Charlie set up the idea of the Thiago Silva-like first bad day at the office.
Yeah.
And Simon, the Arsenal fan, has responded. He said, first day when I worked in an admin role, we administered events and I somehow managed to delete the entire database that contained all of the contacts. That's brilliant, isn't
day
it?
Day 1.
You're going to an admin role.
Nick, in York, first day in a new job, got invited to play a cricket match early evening after work. I was living in Diggs and at a loose end. In the warm-up, I swung a ball off my feet in the outfield area and broke the nose of my new CEO on his way to the crease.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, no.
Top work.
Welcome.
And Paul the cabbie said, we asked you also about worthless memorabilia. Our producer told us earlier on that he had a Spurs Watford programme signed by Stefan Dalmat.
What's that worth?
I mean, it's going to be worth very little on eBay, I would think. Well,
one of the rare unsigned ones.
I would think so, yes. And Paul the cabbie said, I went to a pro celebrity golf day at Beckenham Park when I was about 8. I took my autograph book and was very excited as I hunted the stars. On one hole, I got the autograph of a bloke called Bob Lott. And I then discovered he was raking the bunkers. So there we are.
Not a lot.
Talksport.com.
Not Bob Lott.
Text 81089 or tweet the TSH&J with your fairly worthless bits of sporting memorabilia.
That's funny, that.
And indeed, your bad Thiago Silva-like first days, of course, the Chelsea defender lasted an hour. I bet they came back, Chelsea, but it wasn't his finest day.
It's tough when you're in your 30s, Paul, isn't it? You know,
yeah. It's been a long time.
It's difficult.
Anyway, Dancing on Ice have announced
fantastic.
That Olympic skier turned TV presenter Graham Bell and indeed Olympic hurdler. Colin,
Colin Jackson.
Colin Jackson.
I was going to say Colin Bell.
There's too many bells. But it did get us thinking. Being a skier, does that help you as an ice dancer? I wonder.
Exactly. Is it a slippery slope?
Well, Graham Bell joins us now. Good afternoon, Graham.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Because you know, it's you've got to know how to skate, obviously, and you've got to be fairly graceful and know how to dance. But do you feel this is going to give you a bit of an advantage? You've got the balance on the ice, haven't you? That'll help.
Some people have said on social media, "Oh yeah, he's cheating. He's a skier." There is a big difference between skiing and skating. And yeah, if anyone's seen me dance, they'll know that there's going to be a lot of learning involved. That's for sure. You know, there are transferable skills. Yes, you do slide. You're sliding on two skis. You're sliding on two skates. But there's a big difference between skiing and skating.
How did you start? How did you start skiing, Graham? Were you one of these people who does it when they're two? You know, before they can walk.
I was growing up in Scotland. So my dad was in the Air Force. He was posted up to RAF Turnhouse. And we went up to Cairngorm and we started skiing. I was 5, my brother was 6. And we just started skiing every weekend. And we actually had a caravan. We parked it at the base of the hill. And we'd go and live in the caravan over the weekend and just ski. And that's how we got into it. And then, started racing when we were kind of 10 years old.
Can you skate anyway, Graham, or not?
Well, on the down days of when we were growing up and skiing in Scotland, and there were plenty of down days because it'd be too windy on the hill, we tended to go to the ice rink and mess about. But it would be kind of messing about. We'd crush a Coke can. If we couldn't find a hockey puck, we'd crush a Coke can, and then we'd use the curling brooms as sticks. And we're playing kind of
lovely
impromptu ice hockey with a crushed Coke can and curling brooms.
Oh, okay.
He was a great wrestler, wasn't he? Crusher Coke can.
Crusher he was, yes. Sir. I remember, yeah.
In the 80s, him and Big Daddy.
Crusher. So have you started kind of working on it yet? Have you started the ice dancing practice?
Ready for the lycra?
I've started a lot of stretching as well.
Yeah.
Trying to get myself trim as well, because some of those lycra suits they don't leave much to the imagination.
Yeah. And when does the series start? When does it start going out?
We start training in a couple of weeks, and then there's like training all the way up to Christmas, and then the first show is I think the 17th of January.
Wow.
So it's kind of like there's a big old training phase, and hopefully I can. Not just get good at skating, but be able to dance.
Yeah.
To dance as well.
And have you been a fan of the show in the past? Have you seen, I think it was Goffey on it? No, David Seaman was on it, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, Goffey did
Strictly. I watched it a lot when Shemi Alcott was on it.
Oh, right. Yes, of course, yes.
I worked with her on Ski Sunday, and she was just coming back from injury at the time. So she had a broken leg when she did that show. But she still did pretty well.
She had a broken leg when she did Dancing on Ice.
Yeah, they're hard skiers. They don't mess about.
She was recovering from this like massive injury she'd had. She had a fractured.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Fib. Yeah, compound fracture of the fib and fib, and she was recovering from that. And I don't think it was fully knitted, but she had like a kind of like metal plate in her leg. And she did okay.
Yeah. How is some skiing coping with lockdown, COVID, is it, are they fine? Will there still be races and all sorts?
There's going to be ski racing because the Austrians are definitely going to put ski racing on, and so are the Swiss. It's their national sport. The American leg of the tour, North American legs of the tour, have already been cancelled. They've been moved to Europe. And I think the racing will take place mostly in the Alps. There will be a little bit of a Scandinavian leg of the tour. And they're working on ways of making it COVID secure by maybe having two little tours and splitting the speed disciplines from the technical disciplines, so that, you know, if there is an outbreak on one of the disciplines, then, you know, they can isolate that. So they're still kind of working on it. There will be ski racing. The recreational side of skiing, you know, you can still book a holiday, but you might have to quarantine on the return. And I was talking to someone today from one of the tour operators, and you can get insurance to insure you to ski, but you won't get insurance to cover you if you get COVID while you're abroad. So the one thing that they won't cover you for is COVID, because you're going against Foreign Office advice. If you were, say, to go to Austria right now and go skiing, you get insurance to ski, but you wouldn't get insurance to cover you in case you got COVID.
Right.
Okay. It's kind of weird, and you're taking a bit of a risk. And also, pay attention, because it all may change.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Graham, halfway down.
Best of luck on Dancing on Ice. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys. Cheers.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently: Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, Charlie, you'd probably be aware of these things that you can get from celebrities where they offer a personalised video message.
Oh, yes, Cameo it's called, yes.
Is that? That's right, OK. And then
you do one, Paul. I think people would like that from you.
I think do one from Andy. Yeah. Andy could do them in the aftermath of a Chelsea defeat.
Yeah, that'd be lovely.
Yeah, have a great birthday.
I hate you and I hate the place you live in.
Unless you're a West Brom fan. Yeah, but different people are doing it, and you can be £35. And the interesting one, though, is adding their name to the roster this week was Sooty.
How nice.
Sooty gives you...
Official Sooty?
He gives you, he gives you a message, along with Sweep, because obviously you need someone to do the talking.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a glove puppet waving at you.
The person who wrote this in The Sun, clearly not a Sooty fan, because it was a classic example of not being able to say the word Sooty again in tabloid icons and etc. So Sooty is offering personalised messages, they said. The unique messages from the soundless yellow bear and his dim doggy pal Sweep.
Is he dim? Oh, he squeaks, doesn't he?
Yeah, a blurb sweep, on the celeb VM website.
Was Sooty and who was his girlfriend? Was it his girlfriend?
Sue.
Was Sue? Was were they an item?
Well, I mean, there were rumours
because she was quite posh, wasn't she? I think
she was.
He married up.
And then there was it Butch that hello, Sooty.
Oh, really? Yeah, you came in and was a tough guy.
You want a message from him, wouldn't you? It'd be like the long Good Friday, wouldn't it? Sue, I put money in all your pockets.
I think
that'd
be a lot
birthday.
Of money for Sue leaving messages for some people. Yeah. Specialist market.
So if you're looking for a little 35 quid birthday message from Sooty, alternatives are Shirley Ballas off Strictly.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Roach off Corrie.
Lovely.
So William, would you,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, lovely.
You, would you
no
fancy...
One would, no one would want it, Paul.
Well, yes, they would. Don't put yourself down.
This is the thing. No one would
put
be interested.
Down,
I'm happy to ring people and wish them happy birthday anyway.
Yeah,
I'm not going to charge for it.
Okay, fair enough. And by the way, when you're next down in the West Country, I believe singing sensation Joss Stone comes from the West Country.
Oh, yeah.
Next time you're down to Charlie, if you're walking behind Joss, cross the road. Because she said in the paper today that always when she walks down the street, she has her keys in her hand, ready to stab someone in the neck.
I saw that. She's learnt well. She's obviously from Devon. She's North Devon, isn't she?
Oh,
they're like that up there.
Really?
Yeah. Get away from behind me.
Is it that rough round there? I mean, is
I don't
it...
know, bits of North Devon are very nice, but some of it...
Really?
I mean, it's no West Devon.
Okay.
No one's ever been to West Devon.
I will bow to your superior knowledge of different parts of Devon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A Liverpool number plate could be going for up to £200,000. LFC 1, and we have a potential buyer in the studio.
I'm up for it.
Actor and Liverpool fan David Morrissey. Hi Dave, how are you?
That reminds me of that Viz thing that was said. The guy sent in a letter saying, why are people paying all this money for personalised number plates when it's only £25 to change your name by deed poll? Signed X47946. But yeah. 200 grand, that's a bit much.
Well, I think it went for 50, or it was up for 50 a couple of years ago, but it's gone up a lot since they've won the title.
Wow.
Well,
if you're Ian Rush, you might have that sort of money sitting around. Or yeah. Kenny Dalglish, you know, you might.
Yeah, well, certainly.
Jim Beglin. Jan Mowbray might be interested.
They earned in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think most.
Ronnie Whelan's in.
It's probably David Beckham.
I think it's definitely a David James thing. I think LFC won, isn't it? I mean, he's.
Yeah.
I mean, after Strictly success.
See if he's got 200. Grand spare. We'll ask him a little bit later on. So yeah, good to see it. You've been busy. We can see you on the TV at the moment on Sunday nights on ITV, the Singapore Grip.
Yeah, we filmed that last year. That's before COVID. Obviously, we were out in Kuala Lumpur. We filmed it out there in a place called Langkawi in the north of the country. So that's based on a novel by J.G. Farrell, and it's about 1941 colonial family in Singapore just before the Japanese invade, and it's a story of how they sort of cope with life out there. It's quite a satirical look at that, but it does have a seriousness to it as well.
Yeah, nice bit of moustache acting. You like donning them? Did you grow that or did you stick that on?
It's more my own work, yeah. I went for the soonest look. It was all my own work. I don't know whether you've ever sported a tash.
Only for Movember, but it didn't work.
You end up with your breakfast all down your front, you know what I mean? So I didn't like it, but I had a ceremonial sort of taking off of it, you know.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
We all take them off bit by bit, and let's be honest.
We all have a go at it.
When you take a tash off, you can't help yourself.
Very hirsute anyway, aren't you?
Now and again. I just had a mistake with my beard clippers.
Oh, right.
So I ended up with a moustache, but yeah. As well. Did you feel like when you shaved it off, you had a massive top lip?
Well, of course, because I was in a very hot country, I shaved it off and I just had a big white mark on my top lip.
Lovely.
A big red face and a big white mark.
So big glass of milk.
It was like that. Yeah. Terrible.
And you've got a new podcast as well.
I have, yeah. So, you know, one of the things for me, I've been for a long time, I get asked to go to schools and talk about being an actor and stuff. And even now, you know, a lot of kids feel that acting isn't for them. They feel that if they're from a state education school, that they feel that acting is very highfalutin and all that. And I just wanted to talk about the job, really, about what the job is and what it entails. So I got a couple of mates around and we knocked it about and stuff. And then I put up this podcast called Who Am I This Time? And we have people like Eddie Marzan, John Sim, Anne-Marie Duff. And this week we've got David Harewood. And they just talk about one specific job. They talk about how they got the role, what it was like, preparation for it, what it's like your first day on set, and then how you conduct yourself on set. Because a lot of the time when I'm working now, you know, people are on set for the first time and they haven't got a clue. No one's ever told them how to sort of be or what to do, you know. So really that was why I set it up. But of course what came out of it is some great tales and stories about what it's like. Last week we had Liz Carr, who is in Silent Witness, and she's an actress, a comedian, but she's also a campaigner for disability rights, and she's wheelchair bound. And her stories about what it was like for her working on a BBC drama in a wheelchair, and you know, the things that they just didn't think about that she had to sort of point out to them, you know, a real revelation for me. Yeah. So it's been a real great thing for me to do.
That's one of the beauties of a podcast, isn't it? Is that if you go onto a chat show, say, they'll want your five best stories with the biggest punchlines, and
but you're also there to promote something, a bit like me here today.
But with a podcast, you've got time. You want the nuts and bolts. You want the nuance and the niche bits. Don't you?
And also you can spend time. I mean, you know, that interview thing now, sort of on telly, it's all. Always about promotion. It's like you've got to talk about the product, whereas on a podcast people can ruminate a bit more. It's like a bit more like the old days, really. And we do have adverts, but they're not interrupting the flow of the conversation, so I've loved doing it, and we'll do more. We're doing the second season. It's gone down really, really well, so it's been something. Because of COVID, I've had to do sort of via Zoom and sort of telephone and stuff, but the quality is really good, I think.
I think it's great for actors, actually. There's a few actors doing podcasts now and doing a few more things. I think it's great for young actors, especially, to learn to be proactive and to learn to make their own products so they know a bit more about themselves when they go into a job.
Absolutely, and how to get out there, really. I mean, for me, nobody ever told me. I didn't know. There was nobody from an acting background in my background. You know, nobody was able to tell me how to work. And so that's what I wanted this to be, was people could tune in, find out what the job is. You know, there's a lot of mystery surrounding. And of course, you need talent to do what I do, but you need, sometimes it's just the nuts and bolts of how to get into the job itself, how to get the job in the first place, and then how to conduct yourself through that. You know, so that was the reason for it. And we do have a laugh in some of the stories.
Yeah, I listened to the Alan Cumming one. He was talking about Cabaret a lot on Broadway, which was very interesting.
Well, he did Cabaret for over three decades. I mean, not obviously for the whole time.
Yeah.
But, you know, at various times in his life. And he was able to talk about that show and also his life, how it changed through that. And he got to Broadway and he suddenly became the toast of Broadway how he slightly went a bit crazy with that. And then the third time he came back, his life was a lot more settled. He was married and he was settled down in upstate New York. He had a life and he was able to bring something else to it. So that type of insight, I think, is invaluable.
What about that sort of self-doubt aspect? As you get more well-known, you get better parts and you find you get a role and you're in there with established actors that you've probably watched on stage and on film, on TV. Having the belief to go up there and sort of say, okay, yeah, I can live in this company. It's probably a bit like sport, isn't it?
It is like sport, but it doesn't get any easier. I mean, you know, I did think as a young actor this would get easier, that the nerves would go, that my insecurities would go. But they don't, they get bigger as you go. Because it's such an insecure profession. And, you know, there's lots of actors who suddenly the phone stopped ringing for them. And it's just a sense of that always hanging over you. So there is a sense of needing to sort of get in the front foot yourself and go and get the work. But it is an insecure profession. And there must be something about that I like, because, you know, I've stayed in the job for so long. But you do have a lot of self-doubt, or I do anyway. And, you know, I'm constantly questioning what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. But I think that's, you know, true of lots of people. And then you have your mates around you and people around you who can help you with that. But it does, just because you're on show all the time. I mean, like when I was doing The Walking Dead, Andy Lincoln never watches himself. He just can't watch himself.
Wow.
And I do watch myself because I feel that's where I learn. But if you looked at, just imagine looking in the mirror all the time. You know, it's sort of quite strange that you look at yourself in different ways, so it can sort of knock you off your center.
If Donald Sutherland saying that as well, he'd never watched any of his films, never watched them back, no interest in it. But it's odd. I mean, I tend to agree with you. You'd want to watch
as a young actor. I think it's essential because sometimes you feel that you're thinking an emotion, but when you watch it, it's just coming across differently. I think I used to watch everything when I was younger.
I think to make it like a footballer. For actors to find that longevity in their careers, like a nippy winger will suddenly have to learn how to play as a slower midfielder or drop back. Those transition between ages and casting brackets become, so you might have started out as a young pretty ingenue. I don't know.
I
David.
Was. Yes.
And very,
not
very,
that long ago.
Pretty
neat.
What point are you making, Charlie?
And then you go into the sort of dad era, don't you? And then you suddenly, then go, I've got a friend whose dad died 8 times in lots of different films. Yeah, you know. So finding those transitions between age groups.
But also the sports analogy is quite interesting because it's actually about the world. You love the world, so it's a bit like ex-players either going into punditry or management or coaching or so. You want to be part. It's all you know, but you're there because you love it.
Yeah.
So it's about trying to find other ways of staying in that game that you love so much. That's what it is for me. But it is, as I said, it doesn't get easy as you get older. It does. Yeah. It tends to get harder, I think.
And Liverpool-wise, it's been, obviously it was fantastic to win the title from your point of view. But what have you made of the start of the season so far?
I've been delighted by our start. I mean, I thought after the Community Shield with Arsenal, I was a little bit worried. But then, I think it's early days. It will be. I sort of heard Danny Murphy making the point about the lack of crowd would probably affect Liverpool more than a club like Man City, but I don't really see that happening. I think Klopp is your crowd if you're on the pitch. You know, he is the person you're looking for encouragement. He's the person who, you know, you're looking for that noise. So I think we're all right. I mean, it's very tentative. Adrian Durham sort of said that we'd lose 4 of our first 5 games, so I'm very happy about that.
You can see him on the way.
I will remind him about it.
A couple of great signings, though, as well. That seems to have helped.
I mean, Jota is a bit... I mean, I'm not too, you know, up with his... Even though he would play for a Premier League side, I'm waiting for that. That was an interesting signing, particularly how much we paid for him. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him. But yeah, I think, and Klopp is very good at that stealth signing. You know, you don't really hear a lot of
rumors. We're not signing anyone. We've signed
and then they are with two great signings.
Well, with Thiago, we all thought that was going to happen. Then it went a bit quiet, but that represents great business.
And then he
it?
Just slotted right
there. Yeah.
I mean, it was amazing.
It's amazing
and
to watch,
you know,
it?
It's identifying the player you want, the position you want, and just going for it. And he's always been. And if you can't get that player, then just back off.
Yeah.
You know, I think that is it. Don't try and fill that role with somebody lesser than you think.
But of course, it's a blue half of Merseyside that's top of the table. Yeah.
Really?
Or is it Leicester?
Leicester at top of the table.
They're doing rather well, though, Evan.
Really? I haven't looked at that. I didn't notice. I haven't had any texts or tweets or anything about the Everton side of my brother's an Evertonian and all his kids, so yeah, I got my phone's always pinging, and of course the derby's coming up, so it's all about. So Origi, I'm hoping, is going to be fit for that because he always does well against the Blues.
There was some talk about him going at once. That felt mad. Why would you let him go? I think he's a great.
I always worry about those rumours, though. Are they agent rumours? Are they there to
he might
want to
go
you
he might he might not want to
yeah,
sit on the bench.
Yeah, that's the thing, but
there's a, you know, it's a great side, you're going to win with us, so you know. But and he gets enough games, so but I mean, you know, that's up to him. But I do think he's a really great signing.
Yeah.
And I was there, of course, you know, when he scored the final goal in
that one.
Yeah, so was I. Saw you there. Thanks. Try to avoid eye contact on the way out.
Who am I this time, the podcast?
Yes, the podcast. So people can download
that's on there. It comes out at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday, and they can download that at Spotify, Apple, and all the usual places. Yeah.
And you're filming again on
Britannia. Yeah, we're in the middle of our third season. We've just gone back to work, so we're in our fourth week. It's all very COVID friendly. We're all tested, and we have these COVID marshals who are really brilliant on set. So we're able to do what we need to do, and that's been really joyful for all of us. Really.
Excellent. David, lovely to see you as always.
Brilliant.
Appreciate you coming in. Thanks very much. We'll catch up with you soon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We return tomorrow. Andy, you Charlie, you done. I'm having a nail.
Andy's back. It's all right. Andy Jacobs.
But you'll be
tomorrow.
Back on Saturday.
Back
won't
on
you?
Saturday with Max. Yes, 9 to 11. The game day warm up.
Fantastic. And I'll catch up with you tomorrow with Andy from One. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.